All right, we'll begin in 3, 2, and 1. Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and this is a very last minute and quick show. We are going to be doing a show on Sunday for Survivor Series. We're going to do a pre-show. We're going to do Matt Men After Dark, which I know a lot of you are going to be excited for. That's going to be exclusive on our Patreon page. But I really wanted to do something prior to Survivor Series, and this is someone that I've been trying to get a hold of to do a show. We speak almost every day to some capacity, but we haven't been able to line up our schedules, and that's the one, the only, Mr. Stevie Richards.
How you doing?
You know, calling you, I say this every time, man. I have such a problem. I don't know what to call you on this show. You're Michael on
some
show.
There's no secrets anymore. Okay. Yeah, you can call me by my real name.
We're not exposing the business, huh?
No, that horse has already left the barn about a decade ago.
Yeah. You know, last time you were on, you were in the training facilities for America's Top Team, right?
Yeah. We had a lot of problems with the Skype connection down there. And we were hoping they would get Google Fiber before I left. But yeah, I was helping Colby Covington train for his match in Brazil, or his fight, I should say, not a match.
He did great.
Against Damian Maia. Yeah, he really did a really great job with him. You know what? With all the distractions in the media and everything, I feel like if he didn't have those, he would have done even better.
I thought he did very good, and I think a lot of people. I was talking to a couple of friends that are into MMA, and they said Maia. I said no way. I think he has this covered. Listen, there's so much to talk about, and I got like 30 minutes to do this with you, and it sucks because I could talk to you about 5 hours. So, you were here in New York, and you were at the big event. In Queens, New York. We didn't get a chance to see each other, but there was a picture that I saw that I was actually so impressed by it. It was you with a couple of the ECW originals. I think it was Sandman, Sabu, you, and a couple other people on it.
It was about 7 of us. Me, New Jack, Meanie, Jerry Lynn, Raven, Francine, Sandman, and there's one I might be missing. Is that 7?
Probably.
I don't know. CT's probably kicking in.
I think for me too at this point with my concussion.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it, and I'm saying, oh, my God, you know, if anybody were to return right now, and that could probably do a full-time schedule, it's you. And are you the youngest, or are you guys all around? Franchise was in the picture, too.
Shane Douglas, yeah.
Shane was in there. So are you the youngest out of that group?
No, but we're not really all that much older. I would probably be somewhere around the middle child between everybody, talking about people that are probably – early to mid 50s. I'm in my late 40s. Someone made a remark of like, oh, well, you just did all that comedy stuff in ECW, so that's why your body held up. And I was like, I don't think there's a person in the company that bumped or got beat up more than me, I was always the person taking the stuff for Raven. So.
I mean, yeah, you did some comedy stuff, but you would still take those chair shots and the bumps. And I mean, it's not like you weren't touched.
Yeah, I was touched plenty, actually. Not like Harvey Weinstein and that kind of touch, but I was touched plenty. And, I'm really blessed to be able to just make what I consider to be very, basic choices. Get up early, go to the gym every day, maybe twice a day, eat right, and go to bed early and get enough sleep. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And, of course, avoiding, the bad choices, which I don't know. It was never – we've had this discussion. This is like the fourth time we talked about that, but it never was a temptation because it costs a lot of money. It never goes anywhere, and I never get a return on the investment of the money into that. So it was really, really kind of, never made me even think about doing it.
You told a good story. I don't know if it was with me or with our video, but you told the story about how one time you considered taking something and Raven, pretty much said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, Raven at that point, I had that's when I suffered another stinger from Sandman. I was in, I think, Syracuse, and Louis Piccoli had wanted to hand me a Soma, and I didn't even know what it was. He was just like, no, it'll help you sleep. It'll relax your neck and everything. And Raven kind of like, no, you're not going to do that. I mean, it wasn't that I was tempted to take it, or I was like, oh, man, I need painkillers. I just thought it was no different than like an Advil, if that was even around way back then. But yeah, Raven is, Raven, I always say it, Raven had taught me pretty much everything I know psychology-wise, and that probably carries me even further into working. Like this weekend, I'm working matches almost every weekend, and I'm able to apply that psychology and, you know, look the part because I'm protecting my body as I'm doing these matches.
You know, right now you're not doing a full-time schedule, but how often are you wrestling a year now at this point? Is it at 100, under 100?
I'd say it's under 100, not by choice, but, you know, there's budgets, there's people, there's promoters that like their favorites, and that's fine. I mean, I just know that I come in for a pretty reasonable price, I think, and I give them a lot of, you know, myself. I still go out there. I don't have, like, this weekend I'm going to wrestle Kevin Thorne. You know, we're not going to have a big nostalgia match. We're pretty much going to go like we went in ECW, at each other pretty hard, and we're getting paid to do so. And the fans are coming out hopefully to see that. So, you know, that kind of stuff, I don't know if promoters see a value in that and the knowledge that I bring and helping. I don't just sit there and say, oh, my match is coming up, and I just sit there with my head hanging. I watch all the matches. I talk to the talent, and I hopefully offer them something that was offered to me when I needed it to extend my career now into 27 years.
You know, right now you are, I mean, really the last of that era, right? At 46, 47, last of that era that is active. You're probably Tommy's active, you know, Tommy's still wrestling, but I mean, as someone physically, the way that you are, you're the last of that group of people that has kind of survived physically. I mean, obviously you're in pain and to some extent because you've been doing this for over 20 years, 20 something years. But do you, when you go out there, is the recovery time longer or shorter in between matches for you? You know, when you were 25 and you were taking these bumps, I'm sure you were taking way worse bumps than you are now.
No, I'm taking pretty bad ones now. I'm not stopping.
I thought you were supposed to get smarter with the way that you take the bumps as you get older, right?
Well, if you have that fear of taking bumps or fear of what's going to happen, you might as well be done.
But I mean, you're not going to take an unprotected chair shot to the head.
No. I'm not going to even really
consider it.
Well, look at it this way, and I'll answer the question about the recovery. The desensitization, people are desensitized to any kind of violence these days. So if I do take an unprotected chair shot to the head, what does it mean and who's going to remember it? Yeah. If I take a huge bump through a table, who's going to remember it? You know, it could sound pretty crappy to say it like that, but if I just tell a story, give them something memorable, give them the body that they're used to seeing from 10, 15 years ago, or on that 8x10 from 10, 15 years ago, what they believe their money's worth.
You fulfill their expectations.
Yeah, exactly. You don't come in there and like, I hate seeing like, and I never want to be that guy. I work hard for it. I don't want a fan to come up to me and look at my picture on the table or look at something from a poster and then look at me and go, just even for that second, like, is that you?
Yeah.
You know, I take great pride in that. And the recovery part of it, that's interesting because that's more of a health and fitness and workout regimen adjustment. Because obviously the flights, the hotels, and the pounding on the body, you got to toughen your body up to be out there on the road. You know, if I went on the road for 2 weeks straight, I think that I could get used to it again. But then again, the body's not meant to take the punishment at 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever age. So you're taking a chance by getting into the ring and doing that anyway. You're slowly and smallly or largely destroying your body doing wrestling. Yeah. It's not a healthy thing.
It's not a natural thing to slap down. Even the way that, you know, simple things, this is not a natural way to fall, you know,
it's a lot like football. There are, I think anytime you take that kind of like force, it might not be a concussion, but it's blunt force trauma that you're taking, and forearms or chops or forearms to the back, it's still going to jolt your spine.
Is CTE something that you think about that, you know, 10 years from now, if it's going to impact you in any way? Because we've spoken about concussions. I've had a number of concussions as well. And, you know, you told me you really don't even know what number, because at that point you would just shake it off or, you know, you were just a little loopy and whatever. But is this something that you think about, like 10 years from now, will some of the stuff come back?
I don't think about it for me. I think about it for my wife and my family, like if she would have to deal with that. Now, what I do, and I have done, and as long as you've known me and before that, I've been training my brain to always grow and get better. I always try to learn something new every day. This technology stuff that I still love, the fitness stuff, I'm always curious about learning new things. I think that's the physical therapy for my brain and everything that can keep it. You know, you think about it, people as they get older kind of get content and they get themselves into a rut and they get used to what they're doing. And, you know, you ever hear the saying about the people that retire and stop moving always end up dying?
Yeah.
Or if somebody's always working and moving and staying active, they live longer. I'm hoping that translates to the brain and to whatever. I don't believe that I haven't had any symptoms, and I've been checked out for concussions and stuff like that. And there's nothing in there that says that but who knows? Yeah. You know, you don't know until after you're gone and they do an autopsy to see if you even had CTE.
Yeah. I was reading something today and how, there was a football player in 2015 that passed away. I'm going to say the Vikings. He played for the Vikings. I think it was the Vikings. And they determined that 2 years prior to him passing away, they were actually able to determine that he had CTE. So it's getting, I mean, the technology is getting better as far as discovering. But
I'm sure the NFL didn't agree with that.
I'll tell you, you know, it's definitely going to change. And this is a discussion to have. Dave Meltzer was talking about it, actually, the other day. And this is going to be once they discover that you could see if someone is suffering from CTE, it's going to change a lot of sports. Maybe not necessarily pro wrestling, because remember, it's sports entertainment, and there's ways that you can kind of protect yourself. But with football, what do you say? How do you change the game that's going to protect these guys more than we are now?
Well, the problem with that modifying is everybody's tearing ACLs, hitting them low.
Yeah.
So the rules have, there's been, you know, now players would rather get hit in the head because at least they're not going to be out for an entire season or a year or however long tearing. It's not an easy question. You're never going to come out of football unless you're a field goal kicker, which is what I wanted to be. You'll never come out of it the same. You're going to beat your body up to a certain extent. But once again, I think wrestling and football and other sports, you know, I trained and worked out, and this is where we'll get back to kind of like what my regimen is now. I worked out to obviously be in shape. I worked out to have a certain look when I wrestled, but I also work out to live longer, to be healthier, to make sure I'm around for my wife, to make sure that I'm, you know, a positive, productive member of society too, you know. And my regimen now is more, I love to lift weights still, but I have to do yoga. I have to do stretching. I have to do recovery based workout. Yeah. I have a shoulder mobility and neck mobility.
And you have to
mobility.
Do it more than you did when you were younger, obviously.
It's probably a 75-25 where it was like 90-10 with weightlifting.
Yeah.
But I still love doing cardio. I do cardio once or twice a day, and that keeps my heart moving. And also, it's mentally, I work up a sweat and it makes me feel like I'm detoxing my body in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't know how scientific that is, but it gives me a feeling. That cardio gives me a feeling of, and plus if I'm in the ring, I have the confidence of, I've been doing cardio.
You could go.
I've been going and I can go 10 or 15 minutes without worrying about it.
You said something when we spoke a few times ago and it stuck with me, and I wanted to kind of touch on this, and you could go into detail if you want. If not, then that's fine. You said something, you know, I always think about the concussions because it's a big issue now in all sports. And you mentioned that at one point of your career when you were in WWE, they frowned upon protecting the chair shots, and to the point that they would almost threaten you with a fine.
Oh, that was everywhere.
Was that?
Yeah,
that was everywhere.
100%.
Okay. So what was concussions even a topic of discussion backstage? Were these things that you know, agents and the company was concerned about when every time, you know, let's say Taker went out there and took an unprotected chair shot, or if their top stars were doing this, was this a concern, or it was just go out there and just do whatever you're doing?
Well, I can't speak for them because I've never witnessed a conversation that they had, but I know that whenever I had my quote bell rung, which was what they usually used, or even if there was some kind of concussion symptoms, or any injury, there would be a lot of peer pressure. Yeah, and kind of implied pressure from the office. They're never going to tell you to use steroids or growth hormone or anything like that. But if you have a certain look, it's understood you're gonna go further.
Yeah,
you know, and if you get concussed or if you need time off back then, you lose your spot. And they would always say, oh, you're not going to lose your spot. Don't worry. But they would just be like, you'd have that kind of like, nah, you just, obviously you're hurt. Go home and rest. We'll take care of it. We'll just go home. You know, they would give you that. I can't quite put my finger on it, but you would know
that they were upset. Shit.
Yeah. Oh man. I shouldn't have said anything. Yeah. And that's what the business was. And there was, you know, maybe not so much a fine. I've heard about fines with headshots, like putting your hands up or not wanting to take it. But I know for a fact, I was one of those people. I got crucified for trying to put my hands up for a chair shot because I was a pussy because everybody else does it. I mean, it didn't look as good. It didn't sound as good. And then the next time, they would bring it even more.
Yeah.
So it's terrible. Like you have the mentality, I might as well take this one really good one that's going to kill me rather than take five
of
that
them
are going to get consistently get worse.
You were a wrestling fan when you were younger, and we've spoken about, you know, what got you into wrestling. Like I have my top moments that I, you know, loved wrestling, and what an evolution as far as I guess the locker room goes. You know, you've told me some stories off the air. I won't mention, but you know, how do you think, like, from your idea of what it is right now, it's like night and day back there, probably.
Oh God. I mean, I was, you know, once again, video games and things I like. I mean, can you imagine if I was in the company now and wanted to start my own YouTube channel and do all the stuff that I wanted, you know,
that you wanted to do 9 years ago, 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. I wanted to do all that stuff. I wanted to do all that cool stuff that I was into, and that's fine. Cause I'm glad because these guys, I'm sure they always get hurt and stuff and there's stuff to deal with, but I think there's more infrastructure in place. And obviously it's better for PR to put up the, you know, to put up the representation that you care about the talent. You want to send them home. You want to put them into concussion protocol. And trust me, and this does nothing that I say comes from a bitter place. I'm very happy about the time I had there. Very proud of it.
Even off the air, by the way, even off the air, you don't like bad mouthing people. You're not, you know, you'll tell if someone asks you something, you'll give them straight answer, but it's not, it doesn't come from any kind of bitterness or anything.
Good. And I hope this doesn't either, because just like the NFL, that's a good correlation because I think WWE tries to mirror the NFL or get ahead of the NFL. The NFL is not doing this because they care about the players. WWE is not doing this stuff because they care about the wrestlers.
It's a liability.
They're doing it to protect the shield, to protect the brand.
Yeah.
And that's a good analogy because I don't think any person thinks that Roger Goodell and the NFL cares about the players. Yeah. And, you know, Vince the same way. That's why in some ways, whenever someone would say something like, don't you love the business? And I'm like, no, I mean, I love my wife. I love my friends. I love the people I care about. I wish I was smarter about it and treated it like more like a business and didn't take so much stuff personally.
So when did you fall out of love with the business in that sense?
I didn't fall out. I love what I do and I'm proud of what I do. And I love doing the things that, but when you're saying like, kind of like loving the business part of it, you're talking about like, you know, you're a family with Vince McMahon and WWE, you know, they put that family word out there. It's just like, you know, it's the most fucked up family I've ever seen.
So this actually, I get the stories every Monday and Tuesday from
I chose to, you know, I know you got a question. I chose to be there. There was nobody forcing me to be there. I provided the service.
Yeah.
They provided me in exchange for that income and stuff like that and exposure. So when we parted ways, when they released me, it was even Steven, you know what I mean? And I still get royalty checks. I still get stuff like that. You know, not the ones that the boys are trying to fight over with the network. I get the other one. That's a whole nother interview
You brought up the family thing with that company, and you hear a lot of guys talk about Vince McMahon being a father figure to them. You know, Bret Hart has spoken about it, Kurt Angle. I mean, almost all the guys that at one point have left and come back, it's always the same thing that Vince was like a father to them. Why do you think that dynamic exists with certain people? And is it really that father figure dynamic, or is this some sort of weird thing that they've created in their heads to kind of justify things that happened there?
Well, they have a closer relationship with him than I ever did. I wouldn't say that, you know, maybe, and then, you know, I have to think about the way Vince has evolved and the company has become so corporate. Back then, it really was a mom and pop operation. The family ran the business, and you pretty much had Vince, Pat, from what I understand, maybe a couple other people. You didn't have writers. Vince and Pat booked everything. Yeah. Pat Patterson. You really did it. It was run a lot more, believe it or not, kind of like an indie where you go right up to the promoter, you talk about stuff, he has an idea, or like ECW was, where you kind of had direct access to Paul.
Do you think that's a problem now with the accessibility with the product right now? I mean, you know, you follow it still. I mean, I do this for a living and I follow it. Do you feel that lack of accessibility to Vince or Pat or even you know Vince Russo at the time, do you think that is hindering the product where now it's just an assembly line?
Yeah. Well, they build up a model. What I can see right now is it's a great business model because you can just basically farm them through NXT.
They're making the most money that they have ever made.
Make the most money they ever made. You're paying less than you ever did, though.
Yeah,
from what I understand. This comes from other people, not me. But then they go up there. And they're very young guys and girls. And you think about all these young guys and girls that have, you know, I'm 46. I've been working for 27 years. These guys and girls, I think they get there really young in their early 20s. And by 25, 26, they feel like their life is over because they're released.
Yeah.
It's a really different thing. And they don't have the years and years of the territories or indies that I was the last kind of like, you know, group of guys to go through that kind of era before it became just a one or two company, you know, world.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I mean, I think it's better now for a lot of different reasons, but I don't know if the infrastructure is built up to really make these people make money where they never have to work another day in their life.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think the total dynamic of pro wrestling has kind of shifted over the last, I want to say 5 years. You know, I think about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we hit this really nice peak in pro wrestling, and people that were pro wrestling fans kind of came back into it, and the indies are growing, and Ring of Honor's having their best year, Japan is probably going to have their best year. But it's also created this bizarre subculture of fans who have fans. And I know
fans who have fans. You're talking about like Hat Guy had fans and stuff like
that. Hat Guy had fans and you know, whatever. Everybody had, you know, ECW, for example. They probably
Meltzer,
started
that. The guy who's never worked a day in his life, has people that are fans for him.
Yeah, Dave.
God bless him. God bless him. He's made six figures over the past however many years.
Listen, Al Snow said he's the greatest worker in pro wrestling. He never took a bump and he's made all this money.
I agree with that. I would say probably if you're talking about the rise of independent wrestling, that should be a message to WWE and the whatever they call the other company this week, wherever they're based out of, Canada, Nashville, or whatever.
Yeah, what is it called today?
I don't even know. I think it's called Mad Men Wrestling now.
I could probably do it.
That's a message that your product sucks. Your product's lacking something. And if people didn't notice, which the fans here are pretty smart to notice, when's the last time you've seen anyone come out the pyro? They've been making some cuts.
Oh, big time.
When's the last time you saw a full arena? They've been making some cuts.
Yeah. I think it's an oversaturation problem for them. I think it's a lack of creativity. It's right now. I mean, look at it right now, right? I was looking at this in the time that you were there in WWE, you know, 2000, 2001, 2002. How often would they bring guys from a era from, you know, 15, 20 years ago to come back and to main event pay-per-views? Other than Hogan, really, there really has not been, and especially in that era, they did not have to bring back 45, 50-year-old guys to come and put the titles on them eventually. You know, it was not really something that they did a lot. You know, right now, look what the main event is. You have Kurt Angle, and you have Triple H. This is something out of 1998-9.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a lack of patience, which they've, I don't know who
Listen,
they're
I'm not
trying
complaining,
to compete with.
Right? As a fan, I'm not complaining about it, but it's a very interesting observation and something to think about where they never really needed to do this, especially in the previous eras, because the rosters were so, right now we have probably one of the most talented rosters that we've always had in the company's history, but we've never had to rely on star power and to find and scramble and say, oh my God, who do we need to get next?
I think that's the, you just said the most talented wrestlers, but are they the most over wrestlers?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
now, know what you're doing. Now that's not their fault. They work hard. Yeah. They work absolutely. Actually too hard. The problem is, and once again, I think we said this off before the show, the McMahons, especially Stephanie and Hunter, are not doing anything to make even Kurt Angle feel like a bigger star. They're castrating him every single show.
You know what
show.
The difference is? That authority figure position has been there for 20-something years, right? The whole Austin McMahon thing really created that boom. But the difference between Vince and Steph is that Vince had no problem looking like an idiot on TV every single week. And getting his butt handed to him and being made the fool and Patterson and Briscoe look like dopes, that he had no problem doing that. But when you have Stephanie going out there and berating the talent and scolding them
and slapping them
and slapping them, you're, I mean, first of all, you're emasculating them. Number one. Number two, how do you get the guy over after Stephanie McMahon just berated him like a child? It's over.
Well, according to her, that's how she gets them over, which is really very interesting. In a bad way. Yeah. All right, but I would say this too. The Shield, I watched it because I'm going to do my buddy Ben Hameen's. We do the Conspiracy Horseman podcast.
By the
podcast,
way, I love the show. Love the show.
Thank you. We're going to do a wrestling recap. So if you hear it here, you're probably going to hear it there too. It's interesting that, by the way, thank God for whoever makes those highlight videos on YouTube that's like 15 minutes long. Thank you. God bless you.
You can watch.
You're the best. Yeah, right in 3 hours. But the Shield comes out, who's supposed to be the most dominant three guys. They beat up Braun Strowman and put him through a table, which is a whole nother, what the hell are you doing there with this guy? But they're telling her, we do what we want to do. But you know, Vince would have been gulping and been like, what do I do? Or like making a face like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
She's just smiling at them like, nah, whatever. Yeah. That all detaches. And that the big, what's the word I'm looking for? CTE.
Here it goes.
No,
here
what
goes.
What you do is people are so engaged, and what that does is basically disconnects.
Off. Yeah,
there's a disconnect there where it's like, oh, well, she's not scared of them, so they're not going to do anything. Why should you be scared? The minute the Shield hit the ring, she should have went up the ramp, or when they said, would you like us to triple power bomb you right now?
Yeah.
You know, and or get out of my yard.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But they're not going to give them the verbiage to do that because they can't make Stephanie and Hunter look weak.
Yeah.
And think about it. Like even with the Kurt Angle thing with Jason Jordan, they should have had him. This is just my thought. They should have had him talk to Kurt. He's all great and he's all nice and everything. And then when Kurt walks away, he just has a look on his face like I'm manipulating my father to get
you know,
what I
have
want.
A theory. I have a whole theory about this. People are crapping on that Jason Jordan thing, but I'm going to go like a little deeper in this. I think this is all part of it, and Booker's his father.
I think that now they're going to have to do it, but this wasn't part of it. They don't think that far.
The commentary, actually, everybody craps on Booker T's commentary. I think he's hilariously insane. But the way that he dislikes Jason Jordan, he either knows something that it was like a setup and he's really not Kurt's father, or it's him. He's the father and he found out and he's not saying anything. They're going to do something. Listen, he may have a really good heel turn and he's extremely talented. He's been there for what, like 10 years now?
No, he hasn't been there that long.
Like
no.
8 years, yeah. 7 years, I want to say.
Really?
Yeah, no. Long time.
I know he's a really good kid. I've spoken with him when I was down there. He can work. He's got great intensity. I think they gave him way too much too soon.
Yeah.
And they booked themselves into a corner. And unfortunately, I hope they don't
2011.
Turn around.
2011, wow. He signed with them.
Oh, man, he's going to beat my record in JTG pretty soon.
2010 was his tryout. Yeah.
I think and I believe that what they're going to do is if it doesn't work out, they're going to blame him and say he couldn't get over and then send him back to NXT and that'll be done. Or he'll just get released. That's a shame because he's got a legitimate background.
Yeah. He's a good worker.
They should have never broke him and the kid Gable up. They should have never broke them up.
I like how they shoved Shelton there for the same gimmick.
Hey, he might be like, here's another black guy. Let's throw him in there.
Yeah.
And Shelton's amazing too. And Shelton should have been there, but I think Shelton got wasted too. Shelton should have been a singles guy.
Well, he got hurt. Remember, they signed him. They did the vignettes and he hurt his shoulders. So that was the problem.
But in my opinion, it doesn't mean you throw him in a tag. You know, he's 10 times. He could probably work with that shoulder, which he was for like a year without even knowing it. He could outwork anybody with one good shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the most talented
including
guys.
Including me. Out of that era. I know so for a fact.
Before we wrap it up really quickly, which I want to do this more often with you. I want to do like these like quick, you know, just conversation pieces with you because.
But do people want that?
Yeah, of course. I know. Okay. Honestly, I always, whenever you come on, people love it. Royal Rumble's in Philly again this year. It was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And a lot of people were really hoping, especially Meanie. Meanie was really hoping for some sort of ECW involvement in this. Is this something that you would consider, you know, hometown boy, show up there with the BWO shirt, number 15 in the Royal Rumble?
Well, you know, if I'm a conspiracy theorist, hopefully it'll be number 33 in numerology. I would say this because for everybody that says stuff about JBL, which, you know, obviously has a history, he was one to pitch for Meanie. And I think the BWO as a whole to be in the Royal Rumble in that Philly, one that was last time.
Yeah.
So, you know, he got Meanie tickets to the show. So you talk about living in like Mandela effect, multiverse.
It never happened. You know? That stuff never happened. ECW, no, it happened. One night stand never happened.
I was right there.
It's an illusion.
It freaking happened. But
I was there too. Well,
I get there was a couple times where there was feelers out there for that. And it's a nice thing. And obviously, you know me, I'll train for it. I'll look the best I've ever looked and at least try my best to look that way. And it'll be a nice payday. It'll help, you know, kind of like keep Stevie Richards' fitness going in the right direction and all the other things I'm doing.
Yeah, I think we should start. I think, you know, that would be a very nice surprise if it is that. By the way, I know that they're not big on talking, and Michael has not told me anything about this. This is the first time that we're discussing the Royal Rumble. But I thought it would be like a nice little surprise if you were going to be there. Could you give me a little heads up and I could get a ticket and I'll drive down to Philly?
Why don't you just pay the $10 for or the free month they give you on the every 2 months?
Yeah. I'll drive
down.
I've
never been big on doing the live event stuff. Like they were in Atlanta and I got invited to go down there I always get invited by a couple of guys that are with the company. I won't mention their name, but I just won't go. I mean, it's so weird. It's like, if you know anything about Atlanta traffic, if you can avoid driving in it, it's just, am I going to go downtown and go down there? And I always, even when I worked there, I was like, what am I going to expect today? And it's a stress that I don't need. And I legitimately didn't even know they were there until I checked my phone. And when I went to bed at 7:30, by the way, and said, oh, they're here. Oh, I should stop by. No, got to get up at 3 for the gym.
Yeah, I got to train in the morning.
That honestly comes from a great place where I'm trying to be productive in other things. And I don't feel like, cause I had no clue they were even coming.
Yeah.
And that might be a problem with the promotion too. Cause TNA had that problem where we go
to
towns
where they were working. Yeah.
Well, we go to the gyms, we go to the restaurants and they're like, well, Stevie Richards, AJ Styles, what are you guys doing here? We're working tonight. We have a show. Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. Amazing. All right, guys. We're out of time. And my kid is crying upstairs, so perfect timing to end this. Stevie Richards, everybody, where can people find more information about what you're doing?
Well, you can go to the new StevieRichardsFitness.com. We've talked off camera about me doing my own podcast and just kind of video blog style. Kind of like if you know what Bill Burr does, I've considered talking about all the different things that I experience, much like my YouTube channel, which thank you, everybody, for subscribing. It's growing pretty steadily, over 22,000 subscribers now. Free workouts up there, too. Free full workouts. You can go to patreon.com/Stevie Richards. And I offer kind of like online personal training for the patrons, help their workout programs if they need them, videos to shoot there for patrons only. And I use the money to actually buy equipment and reinvest it into the fitness stuff. And also Conspiracy Horseman every Wednesday night on Twitch around 6 p.m. You can go to twitch.tv/conspiracyhorseman or
I'm a fan
subscribe
of that show, man. I have it on my phone.
Four wrestlers talking about conspiracies.
Love it.
Pretty cool.
Love it. Where are you wrestling this weekend? West Virginia?
West Virginia against Mordecai.
Yeah,
so Kevin Thorne is putting on the Mordecai stuff. I might be putting on a particular outfit people are familiar with too as a surprise.
Oh, very interesting. I guess you got to go and check it out. We have somebody, Chris Harrington, in our chat room. He's going to be there. So
nice. Well,
go say hi to Stevie. Yeah. Go say hello. Tell them you love Mattman. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you next time. Perfect.